This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Melissa Idris and Joyce Goh. And it's time to look at the top business stories of the day. Now, let's turn our attention to a story that we've been covering for some time now, the ECRL, the East Coast Railway Line that's supposed to connect the not only the East Coast to the West Coast of the peninsula, but of course, Malaysia in terms of China's ambitions with the One Belt, One Road system. The government is now pushing to negotiate the agreement tied to ECRL, but the real headline yesterday was that the project is suspended for the time being.
That's right. So Malaysia Rail Link, MRL, has confirmed that they have instructed the CCC. Did I miss a C? Or did I get all the C's?
CCC.
Four times C. CCC. Yeah. Right. To suspend construction of works with the ECRL effective immediately. So they cited national interest grounds. I believe they said that this was due to national interests. Suspension would be invoked. It will be in effect indefinitely, or at least until MRL provides new instructions.
Well, China Communications came out with a press release yesterday, and they've expressed their disappointment on this move and warned as well that the ECRL construction could rise, the cost of that could rise, right? And they're saying that, you know, they're upset, concerned about the livelihoods of their over 2,000 local staff, as well as subcontractors, suppliers and consultancy firms.
So these are local staff, 2,250 local staff and no doubt there will be an impact, I'm sure, to jobs and not just to CCCC, but also to the wider construction sector. We're not surprised, though. I mean, this is, I guess, in line with the developments that we've been reading about in reviews of mega projects, specifically with the ECRL. The idea is to perhaps scale down the project and to reduce the loan drawdowns. But and a couple of days ago, I believe Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng revealed that the actual cost of the ECRL is far higher than was initially expected. I believe it was 81 million, sorry, billion
ringgit.
Sorry, million is very different from billion. 81 billion ringgit when initially, under the previous government, it was expected to be around 55 to 75. At 55 billion ringgit, that is almost 50% less than what is currently projected at 81 billion.
That's right, Melissa. And already at that time when we heard that the cost was about 55 billion to about 60 billion ringgit, at that time, really, critics were saying that's expensive.
It was expensive. Yeah, now we know at 81 billion. And this is not inclusive of operational costs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you make of China Communication Construction Company's statement? They couldn't have been surprised by this, knowing all that has happened in the last couple of months with regard to what you said, Melissa, the determination of this government to make sure that that the country as well gets the best possible deal in all these all these projects. So, you know, and when you look at their concerns about the local staff, that pales in comparison to the huge debt burden that the government will be taking on if it doesn't, in fact, review and renegotiate. The question really is, contractually, what are the limitations to that renegotiation?
Yeah, but at least it's not totally cancelled. They're just stopping it. They're going to renegotiate and look at the cost, right? Coming back to CCCC, Sharad, I think the fact that they put 2,250 local staff, that was because there was a lot of speculation back then that a lot of the staff that are coming to work on the ECRL would be from China. So I think that is a point there to note.
Yeah,
and also sources told StarBiz that a new high-level committee has been formed by the government to evaluate all possible options to reduce the final cost of the ECRL. So they are still looking at it. It's just the whole cost factor.
I'm sure. And I do take your point, Sharad. I'm not sure about the contractual obligations. I do believe because of the nature of this contract, there were, you know, some the sources from that spoke to StarBiz from this committee saying that this suspension is only temporary and essentially, what they're trying to do is get a fair deal out of this project, but within the limitations and constraints of the contract. However, it is going to be quite interesting to see whether if they're going to give a time limit or a time frame, yeah. how long is the suspension? To be fair to, you know, a business, you need to define the terms, right?
Well, this is not the only headwinds for the project, because and some of them are coming actually internal to the Pakatan Harapan government, because we're a federal system, states have to sign on to these projects. They might have interests that differ from the national interest, and we'll see whether there's going to be alignment. This is in particular the mention of the Klang Gates Quartz Ridge and Selangor government wanting to protect this as a natural heritage. In fact, they want to have it listed as part of UNESCO's World Heritage Site. The question is, now that Pakatan is in federal government, will the state government yield in terms of this particular agenda?
So this quartz site is it's the longest in the world?
Yeah, and it's in danger by the project. Okay. I think that is the issue.
Well, as we look at this project, what will it mean for the local construction sector? Right? Recent media reports are saying that they're going to cut this down to 30 to 40 billion, and it could mean that local subcontractors' portions will shrink significantly.
Let's move to the other story, IJM Land, that's come out to provide some context about the talk around the 1 billion ringgit worth of unsold properties around Malaysia. IJM Managing Director Edward Chong claims that there's a difference between overhang and unsold units.
Yeah, you remember, I think it was the end of last week. Or I can't remember, was it earlier this week? God knows, this has been quite the whirlwind week, hasn't it? That NAPIC, the National Property Information Centre, they came out to say that there were some 22 billion ringgit worth of unsold residential and SOHO units, and that the figure had actually gone up 68% on year. This is in ringgit value. In terms of units, it was now, I think, 34,000, over 34,000 units unsold, residential and SOHO units. So in response to this, IJM said, you know, yes, they have 1 billion ringgit worth of unsold properties, but in their opinion, there's a difference between the way NAPIC defines overhang versus the way they define unsold units. And they're claiming now that the 22 billion ringgit figure from NAPIC in terms of overhang is actually inflated.
So yeah. What is the difference in definition then?
Well, NAPIC's definition of overhang is completed units which have been certified fit for occupation but remains unsold despite having been put out in the market for 9 months. So if no one buys that after 9 months, that's like an overhang. Okay. Whereas in IJM's definition, I mean, what Edward Chong is saying, the MD is saying, is that unsold units in their case includes booming butcher lots that can make up to 40% of the development. So what he's arguing is that these units should not fall under the overhang category because they can only be released in the open market after getting government approval.
Okay, so I think the benchmarks are different. The metrics are different. They're saying, well, one is overhang, one's unsold properties. If you count the unsold properties, that's actually including the Bumiputra allocation or Bumiputra unit lots unit, which is different. So IGM says, for them, Bumiputra lots could go up to 40% of any property development. If you count that as unsold, as overhang, then, you know, it all depends on whether government approves it, whether they have the CFO, the certificate for fit to live in. All these things count.
Right, okay. So for me, the way I kind of try and wrap my head around this is that the idea with the Bumiputra units or allocations is that it's a limited market. It's not an open market, right? Because what the developer cannot do is to simply sell it to anybody who wants it. They
Correct.
Have to have somebody who is certified Bumiputra. Mm-hmm. And it's only after an application to then release it to the open market that it becomes fair to judge where demand is in the market. Mm-hmm. And that's the point of contention, that they either too little demand or not insufficient demand for what's going out there in terms of building.
Exactly. And who knows how long that process is? Could it be more than 9 months? And if it is more than 9 months, should it fall under the overhang category? But I do think we're kind of quibbling over small things here. I mean, at the end of the day, there is a problem in the market, right? Whatever the definition may be, however large that figure or that overhang or the unsold units may be, there is a problem, right?
Problem for the industry in terms of, you know, what it's building. But there's a problem that's political, which is the question around affordability, not availability.
The price of the pricing of these units and where are they, right? And I guess there's one issue. I mean, there's one news that have come out yesterday. It's an effort to address this overhang issue. The Housing and Local Government Ministry had meetings with Bank Negara banks and the EPF, and they're trying to address this. And what they're saying is that they're trying to come up with a guideline to allow relaxing the lending schemes. They're looking into that. Although I'm not sure if banks would be okay with that, because at the end of the day, you want to make sure that the borrower can afford, can service the loan, right?
This is a bit surprising because, you know, so Bank Negara is saying they're going to come up with these guidelines that they want to look at this, which is, I guess, a U-turn from a few years ago where they actually implemented, they made it tighter. I can't remember, was it a year ago or so? They made it more difficult, right? They tightened lending measures. So have they seen enough improvement in the market to be able to loosen these or to be able to provide more incentive? I guess, you know, we would like to know whether they're seeing improvements in the market.
Yeah, exactly. And whether people can afford it. It's, and also pricing, you know, it's some people are saying just these units are just outpriced. It's just beyond what people can afford.
Yeah, and I wonder if this new government might slay that sacred cow that, you know, that suggests that the private sector can provide. Mm. You know, maybe we've had a history that shows that the private sector cannot and the open market cannot do it. And the state might have to step in when it comes to housing. Let's move to the other story that actually is quite interesting because it's part of the political legitimacy of the new government. It has to do with its claims that abolishing GST would bring down the price of goods. Apparently, over 7 in 10 goods are cheaper.
And this is according to a survey that was done by the Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Ministry. They said that now, after GST has been zero-rated GST, they're showing that about 70% of goods or necessities have dropped. But it's specific goods, right? So prices of food and drink at eateries, right, Joyce?
Yeah, pricing coming down would be what they've seen as like rice, chopped Faizar rice that has come down, and also
I use Faizar rice.
Is it good?
It's not a type of like fried rice. It's not.
No,
Faizar
rice. Baras. And a roast, small red onions that has come down as well. But price increases they've noticed is from white prawns and dried sotong went up about 42.33%. So what they're saying is that the price went up is because of supply and demand.
Right.
But they've gotten a number of complaints from consumers saying that prices have not come down from F&B places. So these are about 42%
complaints. The question is, when SST kicks in, will prices go back up?
Yeah.
Big question. We can't answer it now. Stay with us. We're coming up to the bulletin. We'll be back with the opening numbers on the stock market. BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.